Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll see how the Navy League is impacting our Minnesota communities and get some details on the upcoming 2018 Patriot Ride. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
This month marks the beginning of LGBT Pride Month. Over the last decade, our military has moved toward accepting all service members into our ranks, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. We're becoming a much more inclusive force, and your Minnesota National Guard exemplifies this. It is important to us as a community-based organization that we reflect the communities we serve, our society, and the cultures that we come from. We are stronger as an organization when we are inclusive and diverse. We must allow anyone who's willing and able to serve their country the opportunity to do so. We cannot deny them their patriotism. We cannot deny them their love of country. As we do with other heritage and cultural recognition months, let us celebrate the contributions that LGBT soldiers and airmen bring to our Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Brian Scon, who's the past president and a board member of Minnesota's Navy League. Brian, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, once again, thank you for having me and hosting me.
Brian, every time I look on Facebook and I follow you, I see you on a different ship or looking at a different ship, or you've been all over the place. You're turning into a real Navy guy.
Absolutely. The positions I've had have given me some great opportunities to support your United States Navy.
And one of them was we helped you, or we were there to witness when we commissioned the USS Minnesota, and we're going to get to that a little later in the show. But right now we have a new ship under construction, the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, and I understand you're the chair of the commissioning committee. Can you give us an update? Did they lay the keel?
Yeah, absolutely. On February 22nd, I was out at Marinette Marine, which is 40 minutes north of Green Bay Land, Lambeau Field. So a lot of Packerbackers are building that ship.
Over on the east side of Wisconsin.
Yeah, on Lake Michigan there. It's the only shipyard in the middle of the country, and all the ships transit out the St. Lawrence Seaway to the Atlantic Ocean to get to the Navy bases they're home ported. We laid the keel. The ship sponsor is Northfield native Jody Green. She is currently the third-ranking civilian in the Department of Navy, and her position is Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy for Policy. And she's right here from Northfield, Minnesota, so we're real proud of her.
That's going to be great. Now, can you explain to us non-Navy people, like, you know, I was in the Air Force, what size is this ship? What kind of ship is it? What kind of work is it going to do?
I can do that. She is actually 387 feet long. She's about 4,000 tons. She's actually only 10 feet longer than USS Minnesota, which is amazing. She runs on, she has a gas turbine engine, and she runs on water jets instead of propellers, or traditionally as Navy would know it, as screws.
Now, how do they refer to that ship, and what kind of mission do they fulfill?
She's called a littoral combat ship. And littoral means near shore, and for a ship that weighs 4,000 tons, she only draws about 15 feet of water, which allows her to avoid some of the pitfalls of our DDGs or our destroyers that draw about 35 feet.
So that means it can maneuver in shallow water without running aground.
Absolutely, can maneuver. Water jets allow her to spin on a dime.
Okay, so she's very maneuverable in shallow water.
Yeah.
And so is that ship made to stay around the coastline of the United States, or to go across the oceans?
Well, actually, the Navy itself is developing the mission, but what I'm guessing is it's going to be the shallow waters of the oceans, like around Singapore, in that whole Southeast Asia area. They're very hard for our destroyers to get in some of those areas where some of our littoral combat ships can go. Persian Gulf, a shallow body of water.
So it's made for deployments.
Oh, absolutely. They will be forward deployed.
And I know you weren't in the Navy, but you've been on the Navy League in Minnesota for a long time. You know anything about the armaments? How is she going to be armed?
They will have a combination of missiles. They will have a combination of anti-submarine weaponry. And they, of course, have a forward gun built by BAE right here in Minnesota.
So technology is saying that that's going to be a well-equipped and well able to handle its own.
Well, when you say technology, she actually is run almost like a Captain Kirk chair with a joystick.
And so it's made for fewer sailors.
And 75 sailors versus a destroyer will have 320.
And that allows our Navy to be present in more locations and still get the job done.
Sure. And there's some controversy on the small size of the crew because of damage control issues, and I think that's a legitimate controversy.
We're speaking with Brian Skahn from Minnesota's Navy League on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Brian, how long is it going to take to complete the construction of that ship?
What's interesting is they just brought number 17 out. We're number 21. They just brought number 17 out of the assembly building and launched her in April. I was told that once they can do that, it opens up the assembly bay, and they're putting sections of our ship in. In about 6 months, we will actually have a hull that can float.
Something we can look at, can float, and we can go out and see. Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Well, we're going to have to find a way to get the show out there so we can do a show from the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. I hope you can help with that.
Absolutely. We'll be able to do that.
Brian, we only got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Can you give us an update on the USS Minnesota?
Yeah. On April 20th, you talked about going out to the Navy bases. I was actually at the change of command for USS Minnesota. We said goodbye to Captain Brian Tanaka, who is transitioning to a deputy squadron commander in Naples, Italy. And we welcomed Commander Thomas Flaherty, who has had multiple department head, executive head tours in other submarines and now has finally achieved the command of USS Minnesota.
Now, will he be the third officer in charge of the USS Minnesota?
He will be the third commanding officer, yes.
Now, the USS Minnesota is a nuclear-powered attack submarine. We were out for the commissioning. It's a $2 billion platform with a B, and it can do things that the Secretary of Navy couldn't even, it was so secret he couldn't even tell us all the things it could do.
Yeah, and what's exciting is the fifth one after our commissioning is now out, did sea trials last week, the Indiana.
So that has it been out on missions yet, the USS Minnesota?
Interesting. USS Minnesota just completed her first deployment.
And any report? I imagine they did well.
I am aware that the commanding officer did, in fact, golf at the birthplace of golf in Scotland. That's all I know.
So he got to get off the USS Minnesota for a day or two and yes. Have just a little bit of leave.
And there was a port visit in Spain as well.
All right. So the important thing to know is that attack submarine, the USS Minnesota, is part of the fleet. It's available for deployments. And it's helping what the Secretary of the Navy told me was helping us to own the oceans.
Absolutely. Our deadliest weapon in the United States Navy is not what you can see, it's what you can't see.
Yeah, the Secretary of Navy was pretty adamant that we have the advantage on the oceans and under the oceans, and I hope we keep that advantage for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely.
So the crew's in good shape. And they're ready. They're getting ready, I suppose, refitting, getting ready for their next mission.
Honestly, even if I knew that, I couldn't tell you.
Are any of them scheduled to come home for any baseball games or coming to town for this summer?
What's interesting is whenever I talk to a commanding officer about a visit here, all he tells me is that's a good time to schedule the event.
Maybe.
No, that he specifically, if I suggest a certain date,
okay.
He tells me that's a good time.
So have you scheduled a date for this summer?
They will be back.
All right. Well, let us know when they're coming back. And a good update on the USS Minnesota. I'm glad she's active and going, part of the fleet. We've been waiting for that for a while. But as we probably should tell our listeners, when she was commissioned, she was immediately scheduled to be retrofitted because the way they build these submarines, they bought all the parts first, they put them together, they build them. Now they have to go in for updates on their computers and their technology, and then they've got some more trials, and then they can join the fleet, correct?
It's a crazy, as a taxpayer, I think about this, and I don't understand why it can't be adjusted on the go, but contracts are locked in, locked and locked and locked.
Well, SecNav told us that by buying 10 sets of the pieces that he needed to build the submarines, he saved millions and millions and millions of dollars. So he sounded like he knew exactly what he's doing. So I believe him.
Oh, he did. And what's interesting about the follow-on versions of the Virginia-class submarine is they're actually adding a 70-foot hull extensions to add more cruise missiles.
Oh, an update.
Getting more lethal.
Brian, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Navy League in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Brian Skahn, who is a board member of the Minnesota Navy League and a frequent guest on the show over the past number of years. He helped us to go out to the commissioning of the USS Minnesota. And Brian, we were just talking about that in the first segment. She's fully ready to go and part of the fleet and already been on her first mission.
Absolutely. Deployed and as much as I know about that, which is nothing, they have told me nothing of what they accomplished, which is...
Secret.
It's why they call it the silent service.
But we have a new commander, Thomas Flaherty.
Commander Thomas Flaherty.
And you've known him, and hopefully we'll get a chance to meet him if he comes back to Minneapolis for something on some date this year or some other undisclosed time.
Sometime in the next sometime during the 90 days of summer, he will be back here.
Well, maybe we can get him into the studio and talk to him for a few minutes. I hope you keep that in mind. And then you gave us an update on the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is a littoral combat ship. Is that correct?
Littoral combat ship. And the other thing that we do like about the legacy of the name Minneapolis-St. Paul is I was just out at Naval Station Bremerton in the Seattle area, and in park there is the decommissioned USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, SSN 708.
Now, was that a submarine?
Fast attack submarine of the Los Angeles class. And she decommissioned in 2008. And within a month of that decommissioning, USS Minnesota was named.
Well, that's terrific, because now we've got the USS Minnesota out part of the fleet. And we're going to have a new USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, a shallow water military ship that can serve all over the world and going to be well equipped with sailors and munitions and equipment. And able to defend herself.
Absolutely, and some unmanned aerial vehicles as well. Let's add that, too. There'll be some remote control helicopters on board.
Lots of technology. And how long did you say it should be before she's ready to go?
Well, she will likely launch, and we will christen her with the champagne bottle against the hull in March or April of next year.
And then she goes through some trials at sea, and then there'll be a commissioning. And shortly thereafter, we hope she'll become part of the fleet.
Let me tease you with commissioning. Our request to the United States Navy is to commission it in Duluth, in the port of Duluth, and which would allow upwards of 5,000 to 10,000 Minnesotans to witness the event.
Well, we'll definitely want to be part of that and broadcast from there and watch you on the decks of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Absolutely. I hope to get a ride from the builder's yard to the port of Duluth.
Maybe we can do a show on the ride on the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul.
The Navy likes to do that kind of stuff.
We're in. If you can get that done, let's go. Now we want to talk about some other ideas. Can you give us the status of the Naval Sea Cadet Program?
Absolutely. One of the most unknown but outstanding programs that we support and we sponsor is our Naval Sea Cadet Program. In fact, my daughter was a Sea Cadet for 5 years before she went active duty in the Navy. We have a program from age 13 to 18, effectively, or 17, they actually wear the same uniform as the United States Navy. They do much of the same training. They have access to military bases. They have access to summer trainings, and they start out going to an abbreviated boot camp at Naval Station Great Lakes, where my daughter went for active duty boot camp. They do about an 11-day boot camp there.
She must have been pretty comfortable the second time through.
Second time through, it was better because they get yelled at by active duty drill instructors.
In basic training and boot camp?
The Sea Cadets do.
Let me think back about a half a century. Yep. Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. We want to give them as close an experience as possible. Now, a lot of our Sea Cadets don't go into the military after that, but it is analogous to a youth program like the Boy Scouts, like other programs where these kids can get acclimated to being part of a team.
So besides being familiar with the process and some of the issues that our sailors get to know when they enlist, do they have any other advantages on the way in when they do enlist?
Well, it's interesting because if you go in without any Naval Sea Cadet training, you go in as an E1. my daughter went in as E3, and I can tell you the pay is about $4,000 a year better.
E3, up from E1, 2, 3, Naval Seek, if there's nothing else that you get from it, that is worthwhile becoming.
Absolutely. And we have great volunteers who run those programs. We have a program in the Isani area, we have a program in Duluth, and we have a program right at the Joint Reserve Base at MSP.
We're speaking with Brian Skahn from Minnesota's Navy League on Minnesota Military Radio. So if any of our listeners have children that are interested in the Navy and want to join the Naval Sea Cadet Program, how do they go about it?
Well, I would Google it because all of them have websites. And so you could do Sea Cadets in Isani County. You could do Sea Cadets at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And you can do the Twin Ports Division, which is up in the Duluth area.
And how old do they need to be to start that?
Well, we have a leaguer program from 10 to 12. And those, they have a kind of a reduced program. And then they get to wear the actual uniform of the United States Navy from age 13 to age 17.
Now, Brian, let's talk about you have a daughter and a son, both in the Navy, and I understand one of them was driving an aircraft carrier, actually steering and driving an aircraft carrier.
Actually, both of them are.
Both?
Both are qualified. And, last summer when we had the Duluth up in the Duluth Air Show, we were hosting the Blue Angels, and I put a slide up on the screen showing my daughter putting one of our cars in the snowbank, and the next year she's driving an aircraft carrier.
At what age?
19. She's now 20.
19, she's driving a hugely expensive, big aircraft carrier, of course, with a lot of other people helping her do that job.
Right. But what's interesting about the bridge of an aircraft carrier, there's a lot of people on watch at any given time, but you have someone at the helm and one at the lee helm, and lee helm controls the speed, helm controls the
direction.
Right now, my daughter is actually on board the USS Harry S. Truman, which is in the western Mediterranean Sea. They've been doing strikes. The Navy, operational security issues aside, the Navy announces all this. They've been doing strikes in Syria.
And how about your son?
Just this last weekend, my wife and I, being good Navy parents, visited our son while he was in port in Bremerton at the naval station there. And we walked all over the USS John C. Stennis yesterday, aircraft carrier number 74. My daughter's on number 75. And so we got to walk all over that ship. And I will tell you that even without aircraft on it, it's a statement ship. I would not want one of those fully armed parked on my coast knowing what can happen.
Well, it's a good thing they work for us.
Yeah. It's good that they're on our side.
And I'm glad to see that you're getting to see the country and the world through the eyes of your son and daughter and to go witness.
Well, what's amazing to me is the technology the United States Navy has.
Yeah, and it's almost scary, isn't it?
I've never understood why anybody takes this on.
Now, Brian, we've just got about a minute left. You've experienced this, two of your children signed up for the Navy. It looks like they're happy. It looks like you're a very happy Navy family. For our listeners, if they were thinking about a career in the Navy, what would you have to say to them?
Well, here's what's amazing to me as a Navy parent is the benefits after just one enlistment. One four-year enlistment, you get 3 years college paid, and you get salary as an E5 to join the military. And that actually doesn't apply just to the Navy, but it applies to reserves, it applies to active duty and the other branches.
Brian, appreciate you coming to the studio and giving us an update on the U.S. Navy. I'm looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
That was Brian Skahn from Minnesota's Navy League. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get the details on the upcoming 2018 Patriot Ride. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Outstanding.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get all the details of the 2018 Patriot Ride. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
If you are a veteran with a service-connected disability rating of 70% or higher, I have some information for you. You may be eligible for a property tax exclusion on your home in Minnesota. If you'd like more information, or think you may be eligible, contact your county veteran service officer by visiting minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Doug Bly, and our regular contributor to the show, Tim Leonhardt. Gentlemen, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Doug, I want to start with you a little bit. The Minnesota Patriot Guard, I'm sure all of our listeners have heard about you guys for years now, but in case there's one or two people out there that don't know what you do, could you give them an update, please?
You know, our primary mission is part of the National Patriot Guard Riders. It's really honor, dignity, and respect, as we often talk about, but it's really the core mission. The reason we were formed was to keep a visible line in between the family and possible protesters at funerals for the fallen. The mission has branched out significantly since then. We stand for veterans. At the time of their passing, we do the deployment and welcome home ceremonies, involved in a lot of different things that involve how do we support the active duty military, our Help on the Home Front program. We invest a lot of time and money in. And a lot of it involves hunting and fishing with disabled veterans and active duty veterans. The aid hats out up in Arden Hills, where I think we make 14, 15 days of lunches for the bow hunters up there. And so it's grown from showing up on a motorcycle, sustain a flag, land at a funeral, to really how do we support the veterans? How do we support the active duty? But above and beyond and everything else is how do we care for the Gold Star family?
Doug, I want to dig into that just a little bit. I want to break it into two parts. There's your basic missions that you go on, and then, of course, each year there's a thing called the Patriot Ride, which we're going to talk about today, where you raise some money, and then you use those funds to help a number of organizations and to help with the hunting and fishing and do all the other things you're talking about. But let's go back to the basic mission. Your original mission was to provide some space for military families to bury their dead without being bothered by people that might want to disrupt it.
Yeah, and we've had a couple instances with the protesters being in here in Minnesota very early on, you know, 05 and 07, I think, and 08 were the last times we saw them here in Minnesota. And really, at the invitation of a family, we only go when the families ask us to be there. It's a very important distinction. But we will stand a flag line and adjust our positioning to make sure that any protester signs or anything else that the family might see that they're not visible to them. And we have on one or two occasions fired up the motorcycles and drowned out the sound.
And, of course, the flag line means that your Patriot Riders that show up for the funerals will be there with a vest on and dark glasses and a hat and their flag. And as we've talked about before, I lost a soldier from the Vietnam era that was the other grandfather in my family, and there were about 20 Patriot Guard riders lining both aisles of the church, and it was amazing. It was emotional, and it added a lot to a proud veteran that we were saying goodbye to.
You know, and I think that's the mistake and the misperception that people make about the Patriot Guard riders and the Minnesota Patriot Guard. You know, we're not about the motorcycles. Many of us show up on one. It was kind of at the core, the genesis of where we came from.
Tim has told me that I can show up in my truck, my cage, or I could even parachute in.
We've had people show up in city buses. You know, they carry the flagpole. Now, from a security standpoint, the airport doesn't like us when we're carrying a flagpole through there, but that's just the TSA being a little critical or hypercritical of us. But it's that flag line, Tom, and you've experienced it as a family member. I've experienced it as a family member. To walk outside and to see the flag snapping in the breeze and the veterans saluting and the silence and the dignity that it lends to what 15 years ago was nothing.
It's incredible. Just incredible.
It tears your heart, but it fills your soul to be part of that. And I think that's really been the biggest part of it for me. It's just really been, I'm not a veteran. I didn't serve in the military at all. So this has been my opportunity to give back to not just my father and his generation from Korea and World War II, but to the current war vets that were there for them and to the active duty military were there for them today.
And Tim, Doug mentioned deployments and ceremonies, welcome home and departure ceremonies. What he's talking about there is since 9/11/2001, Minnesota National Guard has had deployments all over the world. I can't even count how many. Yeah. But sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, 20 below zero, there's a unit going out, and they're at somewhere gathering, and your Patriot Riders are there.
We're there. We want to make sure that they know that they're appreciated for what they're doing. We want their families to know that their loved ones that are being deployed are appreciated for what they're doing.
And the troops have told me it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, just for, you know, we get as much out of it as they do. We get the honor of being there when they're being deployed to go and help protect our freedoms.
And when they come home, it's even more fun, isn't it?
Oh, that's the best. You know, sometimes I go to a welcome home, and the old time movies, when you see the Marines and soldiers getting off the ships and their loved ones are waiting, you just see it. You're there and you see these loved ones just waiting for the moment they can hold their loved one again. It's just awesome. You get goosebumps.
We're speaking with Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And then, Doug, kind of a third leg of your missions, you go to a lot of the veterans' homes and talk to the vets.
It's part of the help in the home front. Every veteran home in Minnesota, we participate in playing bingo. This past Memorial Day, I think three of the veterans' homes, we participated in the ceremonies they did for Memorial Day. And it's an important part of that. You know, the forgotten people in this world are the ones who are in nursing homes. And, you know, and then you take a veteran in a government housing, and it's important for us to be there to be part of what they're going. And, you know, winning a quarter in a bingo game means the world to them.
Well, and being able to talk to some other vets and some young folks that care enough to come out and spend a little time with them, that breaks up the monotony of being in a home for the rest of your life.
Well, it does. And, you know, there's certainly any other places we could spend our time, but it's been one of the most important ones and really one of the longest acting or one of the longest duration events that we do. I think we started in 2006 or 7 here in Minneapolis. And now we do motorcycle shows and barbecues and everything else for them.
Tim, if a family has a loved one who served in the military and they've passed and they would like to have the Patriot Guard riders show up at the funeral, how do they go about it?
Just go to our webpage, mnpatriotguard.org, or on the left side it says invite the MPG. Just go in there, fill it out, and somebody will get back to you.
And, Doug, you don't go unless you're invited.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
So if you want the Patriot Guard at that funeral or at that type of an event, go online, mnpatriotguard.com, send them a note. And then, Doug, you put out the word to all the riders, and you've got thousands of them in the state. And you never know who's going to show up, but they always do.
No, we do. We've got 4,000 email addresses, and the website is public. So using that mnpatriotguard.org, there's a calendar link in there as well. You can see not just missions for the Patriot Guard, but we invite other military support organizations to put their events in our calendar as well so people can see it. And we always say we don't know how many are going to be there, but if I'm there and I'm holding a flag, it's a mission.
And the riders show up, and there'll be a ride captain there to organize whatever needs to be done and sort out your riders, and they're going to stay there till the end.
You know, and that's where it's not a hard thing. Someone's going to guide you through, walk you through. You know, when you ask for the ride captain in charge and say, I've never done this before, more than likely be assigned a guide or a mentor for the day and someone to walk you through. And really what it is, we always tell everybody, just do one thing. And if you did one thing, that's more than anybody else has ever done, and we'll take the one, and one's going to become 20.
You'll go to the next one, that's for
absolutely
sure. Tim, who's eligible?
Anyone. Just need a 3x5 flag and a heart for their military.
So it's not just Vietnam veterans,
it's
and it's not just people who ride motorcycles.
Nope. You can come in a cage, you can come by bus, you can come by paratroop. We don't care how you get there, just show up.
Doug, you've got the state divided up into various regions, right?
20 different sectors within the state of Minnesota that someone's in charge of that group of people. So anywhere within this state, and we help out in Wisconsin, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota as well to go to missions. And someone's there to help you get along.
Now, Doug, I know you've got a fewer number of riders right now than maybe you've had in years past, but the Minnesota National Guard's got airmen out. There's 300 airmen from the 148th Fire Wing. The division is going out. There's over 700 soldiers going out this fall. There are people deployed all over the world. You need the riders to help with all this work.
Yeah, and I think that's been the misperception or the misconception is that there's not much going on because they don't see the news or the war in the news every day. And it's important because there's so much activity going on within the National Guard itself. Minnesota National Guard is ranked as one of the best performing units in the country. Therefore, they're under a lot of demand. So, you know, again, we'll look at doing all the deployment ceremonies and, you know, motorcycle escorts. And we really need people to come back out. The need we have today is as great as it was years ago. It's just different. It's not an active duty death. But we still did almost 400 mission days last year, and we still need a lot of help.
And there's a lot of deployments coming up. So we need to keep supporting those families and those troops as they come and go. And, of course, unfortunately, too many of my Vietnam buddies are dying off early because of Agent Orange and other things. So it's critical that you have the riders be there and when you're asked and have a good contingent at every one of those funerals.
No, and that's all we're asking for, is just to help us out, give us a day, and you know, and it's not what we're going to prove to you, it's what you prove to yourself.
Very good. Tim, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Patriot Ride. I wanted to get that in, but first I want to make sure everybody understood all the great work that the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders do. So when we come back, you guys get ready. We're going to pepper you with questions about the 2018 Patriot Ride. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard about all the great missions they go on and all the support they give to all of the troops here in Minnesota and all of our veterans when they pass and show up with their Patriot Guard riders. But Doug, we want to talk now about the Patriot Ride for 2018, because this is the second part of what you do. You have missions, and then you have a big fundraiser every year called the Patriot Ride. Can you tell us about it?
Thank you, Tom, for asking. It's the 13th year of the Patriot Ride, sponsored by Dennis Kirk. And it's really about supporting those who protect and serve us, both in the military, and we've added in now a law enforcement element as well. So the four groups who are the recipients of the net proceeds are the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the Minnesotans Military Appreciation, and Tribute to the Troops, and a group called Back in the Blue Line, which supports law enforcement.
So you raise a lot of money, and you have... I understand last year you had about 5,000 motorcycles out there.
It's crazy. I mean, you can't imagine 5,000 motorcycles anywhere, and then you see them all park in, especially when the sunshine is glinting off all the chrome and the paint, and it's an inspiring sight.
So where do you gather them up?
We actually do it out of it's the airbase up in Anoka. It's at the private operator site, and so we're able to get on the tarmac. They take the entire tarmac now to park all those motorcycles.
So this is the Anoka County Airport. Is that up off of Highway 10?
It's off of Highway 65.
65.
So just north of 610, get off on 65, go up to 105th, turn right. But we have all kinds of signs out there.
Okay, and there's a website for this, Tim. What is it?
MNPatriotGuard.org.
Or The Patriot Ride.
And The Patriot Ride.
So this one, to get information on the ride, is ThePatriotRide.com.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to go there for directions and information. But it's really a family day as well as an opportunity for people that love to ride motorcycles to come out and go on this ride.
What is, and we highly encourage families to come. You know, people should not be afraid to bring their children. You know, there's a lot of motorcycles, and you do have to be careful as you're walking around, but it's a very family-friendly event with the entertainment that goes on during the day. This is not, you know, what people picture a biker event to be. This is a military appreciation, law enforcement appreciation event, and we give it the respect it deserves to be that. So, there's no charge. There's a charge for the riders, and that charge can be figured out if you look at thepatriotride.org. Civilians or citizens are free to come. We are going to ask for a small donation to help cover some of the basic costs, but again, there's no requirement for entry fee.
But it's family-based, and there'll be food and beverages and some music?
Oh, gosh, there's more food than you can shake a stick at. There's refreshments. There's breakfast in the morning. The music entertainment, Emerson Avenue, and they only do nonprofit and fundraiser events. It's fabulous. They have two different sessions, one in the afternoon and one after the speakers are done. And I love listening to them. It's kind of age appropriate for me.
And, Tim, it's called the Patriot Ride, and there actually is a ride.
Yes.
For all of those that have signed up and paid the fee and want to go on the ride. And it must be a long one, because by the time the first ones go out and get done, the last ones are just going out on the ride.
With 5,000 motorcycles, that was our biggest fear last year, is that the last of them were leaving when the first of them came back. So this year we actually added another 20 miles to the ride.
So that you can accommodate all the riders.
Yes.
And of course, I hope you talk to Chaplain Wynn about some good weather. What's the date of this thing?
That'd be June 30th.
June 30th, yep. Is a Saturday?
Saturday.
And what time does it start?
Actually, it starts about 10. The ride itself starts at noon.
So we're praying for some good weather.
Yes.
And you got some of that last year, I think, didn't you, Doug?
We call it the Bluebird Day last year, and that's why we think we had over 5,000 people come in.
Well, have a nice day and go out there and go on a ride. But for our families that come out, there are things to do. There's food and beverage. And once the ride starts, those kids are going to just be amazed by all those motorcycles starting up at the same time.
Tom, I'm not a young man anymore, and I'm amazed listening to those motorcycles start up at the same time.
I'm thinking about those Harleys going, thum, 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 thum.
Potato, potato, potato.
Potato. We're talking to Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard about the 2018 Patriot Ride. Doug, can you give us the details on the day again?
Well, it's June 30. It's at the Anoka County Airport, but it's actually at the Lynx, which is the fixed base operation. So make sure you Google the right address when you put it in. So don't go to the airport itself, but you have to go to the Lynx. And it's a FBL network, and it's at the north entrance. So you come in off 65 to 105th Avenue. There is a program in the morning, starts about 10:30. As Tim said rightly, it's about noon. And then we have speakers in the afternoon when you come back.
And do you know who's speaking this year? Have you got that information?
We have Major General John Jensen speaking.
Adjutant General.
The Adjutant General speaking.
Minnesota.
The Anoka County Sheriff Stewart, Jim and Dana Beardsley, and then we have a Navy SEAL, Eric Lindquist, is speaking. He's got a really interesting story. He's was involved in any number of operations in SEAL Team 3 and has been recognized by the president twice.
So come on up early and stay late. There's food and beverages for the kids. And, Tim, it's going to be a great day, isn't it?
It is. It is. There's going to be other things, too. We're going to have some police motorcycle expositions. There's all kinds of other things to see and do.
Great, guys. June 30th, the Patriot Ride. Doug, we got 30 seconds left. What haven't we heard? Tell us again.
You know, I think it's a fabulous event to support the military, support law enforcement. It's a very visible event for that, but the cool thing on the ride itself is we put the ride announcement out to all the people who live along the route as both a courtesy, and there's people have patriotic parties the whole time. So you spend 70 miles beeping your horn and waving at the people who are waving at you with their flags.
They can still sign up to ride in it at thepatriotride.com. Is there a raffle this year?
We have a 2018 Street Glide Special. It's a really cool bike. It's all blacked out. It's about $26,000 at retail value.
And where can they pick up a raffle ticket?
They can pick up the raffle tickets either online at thepatriotride.org or all day long at the event itself. We'll be selling raffle tickets.
All right, gents, I hope you have a great year at the Patriot Ride on June 30th. And I want to thank you both for joining us in the studio again.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard talking about the 2018 Patriot Ride. For more information, go to thepatriotride.com. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Robbie, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Sorry about that. I had a other phone go off, but that's okay.
That happens. Telephones ring, and this is radio.
Yep.
How are all our veterans down in Goodhue County?
Everybody's doing great, doing great. Everybody had a good Memorial Day. Even though it was a little warm, they were able to get out and enjoy it.
Well, Robbie, I understand today we're going to talk about VA compensation. It's kind of a term that's thrown around all over the place, and it's one that you and all your county veteran service officers understand well. What is VA compensation?
Well, Tom, VA compensation is a tax-free monetary benefit paid to veterans with disabilities that are a result of a disease or injury incurred or aggravated during active military service, active duty for training, or inactive duty training. And the compensation may also be paid for post-service conditions that are considered related or secondary to disabilities that occurred in service.
So this is if you were injured or came up with a disease while you were on duty, either active duty or deployed with the Guard on active duty orders, and right, it's noted in your physical on your exit, then it's something that there could be VA compensation for.
Yeah, if something happened to you while you were in the service, such as a physical condition, like a chronic knee condition, as well as mental health conditions such as post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. Just to name a few, for example, and there are in your service medical record, then we can look at doing compensation for you.
So are there, what types of disabilities does compensation apply to? You already said knee conditions, there's some mental health stuff, and
right, then
is it something like if you're in the artillery and you can't hear?
Right, hearing loss, anything having to do with Agent Orange exposure, while serving in country in Vietnam, are some other areas that are eligible for compensation.
So what determines the monetary amount a veteran receives as compensation?
Well, the VA uses a graduated scale according to the degree of the veteran's disability from 10% to 100%. And if you have dependents, an additional allowance may be added if your combined disability rating is rated at 30% or greater.
So, of course, to find out if you're eligible for any of that, the best thing to do is go visit your county veteran service officer.
Yep, come down to see your County Veteran Service Officer to see if you're eligible for VA compensation or any other of the VA benefits that you may have earned while serving on active duty. We are glad to serve you, your dependents, and survivors in applying for any benefits you may be eligible for.
Then bring your discharge certificate, your DD-214, and even if you can't find that, go see your County Veteran Service Officer because you might be able to help them find a copy.
Yep, we sure can.
Robbie, I'm glad you're down there taking good care of our Goodhue County veterans, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Not a problem. I really enjoy coming on and talking about veterans' benefits.
Well, we enjoy talking to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That was Robbie Robinson, the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brian Scon, Doug Bly, and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Robbie Robinson, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week when we check in with Congressman Tim Walz and meet the new Department Commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.